Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, baby.
Hello, sugar dumpling.
I don't feel like a sugar dumpling this morning.
No?
No.
Why not?
It's so early, and I didn't get much sleep last night, and I haven't had coffee, and I'm a cranky quiche.
You can't be a cranky quiche. It's World Sexual Health Day.
Oh! Well, in that case... I'm a fucking lubed up sugar dumpling, daddy.
Oh, I like that.
I don't think I do like that. That makes me feel weird.
A lubed up sugar dumpling is I just can't quite wrap my head around what that would. Is it lubed up with like a gelatinous sugar glaze?
No, it's lubed up with some of that with. Cake icing that I made with my cum.
Ooh.
Yeah, how gross can we make this?
That's nasty.
Actually, speaking of really yum, yesterday I had a donut. Or I guess it was a donut. I don't even know what it was. It didn't look like a donut. It looked like a bao, but it was definitely a donut.
A bao?
Yeah, bao, like a bao bun. Like a steam bun?
Okay, like a steam bun.
But it didn't look like a steam bun. It was just shaped like that. You know what I mean? So I guess it was a donut. I'm used to donuts with a hole in it, right? So anyway, it was kind of... But it was this like little pocket, and it was from this bakery here in Halifax. And they do like really, really great stuff. And man, I just... Look, if there's anyone out there who listens to this show, and you just get the urge to like... send us a gift. Just send me donuts. Just send me a big old fucking box of donuts.
I do not endorse this message. I'm just Googling donut puns. Hang on. This could be a wonderful thing.
No. We are not.
A glazing donut puns.
Oh my God.
That you'll love so much.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Is that actually what that article says?
That is the name of the article. Yeah, 25 a glazing donut puns that you'll love so much.
Okay. You know what? Let's go back to World Sexual Health Day! Woo!
Oh, gosh. Okay, do you know, I would like to start this because this episode with a definition from World Sexual Health Organization of what sexual health actually is. Are you down?
I'm down for that because, you know what? I don't... Yeah, you what's don't sexual health?
Okay.
I guess I've never really thought about it. Like, you know, I guess when I think about sexual health, I think, you know, maybe I'm, yeah. I think about, it makes me think about, you know, the health of the health. So it makes me think about like STIs, right?
Right.
That's like one of the first things that comes to mind. Cause like, I'm thinking, all right, like what's the health with like our sexual, our reproductive organs and like STIs comes from sexual transmitted infections. It's you know, based off sex. Sexual health. I also think of I think about it from like a perspective of like communication and like almost from a, like a relationship health kind of side of things, but more so, it, you know, in the bedroom practicing like, you know, safety while practicing sex, like for example, BDSM or something and having clear boundaries and having safe words and stuff like that. I feel like that would fall under sexual health, perhaps. Mm-hmm. These are just some of the things that I think about, that I've thought about, having never thought about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell me what the smart people doctors say?
I will too, but first I'm going to tell you what my interpretation of sexual health.
Okay, I thought you already read that. I thought you were like, you had the fucking answers already. So
I do. I have the answers there. I'll read it to you.
You're cheating. That's cool.
Yeah, I already read the answers to this book. But so from my very own brain and my very own intelligence, with no influence from the internet, sexual health, for me personally, well, you know what? Actually, I agree with you. Those are the things you just said are the first things that come to mind. I also think, you know, it encompasses like a certain amount of comfortability and like acceptance of our own sexuality. So from a mental health perspective, like feeling peaceful or, you know, like just having a good relationship to
sex.
Yourself sexually.
Right.
Yeah. A sexual being.
Right.
You know, not be like getting rid of shame, working through those sorts of things. So you get to a place of like, wow, this is who I am and what I'm into and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So that mental health perspective and also a big one for me is just as of recently, well, as in the last couple of years, and I've talked big about this, but I actually haven't taken any action, is like overall the general health of your sexual organs. And you said this too, and you brought it up in relation to like STIs, but also like being able to read your sexual organs, or for people with menstrual cycles, reading those, getting to understand all the information that's available to you through your the cycle that I have and what it can inform about my overall health. So reading the messages that come from my sexual organs about the overall health of my body.
Do you mean like, you know, when you had BV, like the, like reading the hot wharf smell and going, that something is awry.
Yeah. Yeah. Being able to knowing the difference for sure. I think this is a big one for a lot of young people or older people who, like, I see sometimes, like, you know, when you go into somebody else's bathroom and like, there's like a vaginal douche on the tub and you're like, oh, hang on one second.
Wait, does that happen?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Vaginal douche. Isn't a douche a tool? I'm a fucking idiot. It's not.
No,
is it?
It's a douche.
It's like shampoo.
It's a wash. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why did I think a douche was like a turkey baster kind of thing that shoots it up into the yoni?
I mean, it could be also, maybe perhaps it also extends to, it's a broad term for douche as an applicator. Anyway, douching. I don't know.
Douche. Okay. So, sorry, I cut you off. So you were saying, when you go into someone's house, and this happens all the time, and the douche is just out on the counter. Yes. I do know what that's like.
You know what that's like?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And that's so basically,
and that's bad. Yeah, that's bad news bears. You're saying? You think?
Yeah. You're not supposed to put things like that into a vagina. And so like what you mentioned with the BV thing is like recognizing the difference between the normal healthy smell of a vagina versus like something is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, lots of people because vaginas. You are a Mr. Interrupter this morning.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to have fun.
I can't even get through my sentence. Oh my God.
Okay. I'm okay. I'll go back to being a cranky quiche. Go ahead.
I love that interrupting people cheers you up and not interrupting people means that you're cranky.
It does.
Your vagina does not need to smell like flowers or, you know, vanilla frosting. It should just smell like vagina, but not like BV.
Well, vaginas are full of bacteria and they need to be like, that's a really important part of the way a vagina functions is to be just a hot box of bacteria and sometimes bad bacteria. And then that needs to get fixed, but you don't want to wash away. That's why like using antibacterial soap is frowned upon. You're not supposed to use antibacterial soap because it strips you of the bacteria that you need, the good bacteria.
Right. So. And antibiotics need to be followed up with probiotics because it kills all the biotics.
Yeah.
All the antibodies and not just the bad ones.
Yeah.
So I've been talking for a long time about learning how to track my cycle and which is called the fertility awareness method, which is different than the rhythm method. And I'm just learning. I've got this book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which is misleading because people see this book on my shelf and they're like, are you trying to get pregnant? I'm like, no, I'm specifically trying to not get pregnant.
They see that book on the shelf right next to your douche and they're like, what's going on here?
So I'm only on page 40 and I'm learning things about the anatomy of, you know, I've seen so many photos of like, here's the anatomy of the penis and all of those organs, and here's the anatomy of the vagina and all those organs. Anyway, I learned something.
Cool.
And I was not expecting to about the male. This is, well, the, you know, this book is from like, I think the 70s, but it's called, yeah. And it says it's male reproductive anatomy and the epididymis. Have you ever heard of that before?
I'm sorry. What did you just call me?
Epididymis.
How dare you?
The arrow here is pointing, it's right behind, it's inside the scrotum behind the testicles, and it's a 20 foot long, that's right, now that I have your attention, a 20 foot long series of ultra thin, tightly coiled tubes that mature and store young sperm cells.
Whoa. Do I not have that? I must not have that.
Because we always thought
I do have that.
You didn't have the vas deferens part.
I don't know. I think it's just, I'm like clogged. I think, so what it is that the highway is clogged up. The highway is a backlogged.
Okay. So I don't know because the vas deferens is a pair of approximately 15 inch long tubes that carry sperm to the seminal vesicles. The epididymis is a 20 foot long series of ultra thin, tightly coiled tubes that mature and store young sperm cells. Takes two to 12 days for sperm to pass through, during which time they develop swimming ability. It's their training ground and attain fertilization capability. Yeah.
You are saying sizes that just do not compute with what's going on inside me.
Tightly coiled.
15 inches? Babe. let me tell you, not even half that. 20 feet? I mean, you know, let's get real here.
Nobody's got that going on. This book is no shit.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody.
Okay.
I wouldn't say nobody. Anyway, great. So wait, can you read what the World Health Organization said? That the sexual health... Who are they?
The World Health World Organization.
Who? Okay.
Yeah. So WHO says, according to the current working definition, which it looks like this was established in 2006, so that's interesting, a state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It is not merely the absence of disease, dysfunction, or infirmity. Sexual health requires a positive and respectful approach to sexuality and sexual relationships, as well as the possibility of having pleasurable and safe sexual experiences free of coercion, discrimination, and violence. For sexual health to be attained and maintained, the sexual rights of all persons must be respected, protected, and fulfilled.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
I like it.
Just below that, it says sexual health cannot be defined, understood, or made operational without a broad consideration of sexuality, which underlies important behaviors and outcomes related to sexual health. The working definition of sexuality is a central aspect of being human throughout life, encompasses sex, gender identities and roles, sexual orientation, eroticism, pleasure, intimacy, and reproduction. Get that? Like in school, it was like sex is about reproduction, period.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Wait, what did we watch the other day? We watched Mean Girls.
If you have sex, you will die.
Yeah. The phys ed teacher teaching sex ed. And then at the end, he's like, who wants some rubbers?
So this also says sexuality is experienced and expressed in thoughts, fantasies, desires, beliefs, attitudes, values, behaviors, practices, roles, and relationships.
Wow. Well, that's who's nailing it on this set? Yeah. I feel like they're really, this is really speaking my language.
Yeah, I agree. I'm down. Yeah. I'm down with that. WHO? Well, so it's interesting because we do cover all that kind of stuff in this you know, show, and I don't know if I ever would have described us previous as like a sexual health show, but we kind of are.
Oh, we definitely are. Yeah.
We do talk about all these things.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to, hey patrons, just so you know, we are filming our four plays. And if you want to be watching what's happening right now, you can watch this over at patreon.com/turnmeon. And I'm just here trying to adjust your camera because you keep changing where you're sitting.
Oh, I shit. Oh, shit.
And folks, it is wild. You got to go to patreon.com/turnmeon because Bridie is currently shitting on the podcast. And if you want to see that, all you have to do is pay us a little bit of your money and you can watch Bridie shit on Turn Me On podcast.
You absolutely 100% cannot. I don't even let anyone in the bathroom.
You know what? I actually had this thought today. I literally thought about this today, Bride. I was laying in bed trying to wake up this morning. And because I knew that we had to record. It's fucking early. Okay. And so I was like, I'm going to get up early. I didn't get much sleep last night. So I was like, okay, like I got to get up and like make sure I'm awake for this. And so I was laying in bed and I was, you know, I've been daydreaming about getting a van like you and Todd and have my own version of that. I was looking at a school bus that someone was converting. And I was like, this is cool. I like the way that this looks. And the bathroom was right off the side of the bed. And I was like, huh. I wonder like when Bridie and Todd do their trips, like how, but then I was like, oh, they don't have a toilet. Cause I was always thinking like whenever you go to relieve yourself, you very much, you're very secretive about it. I would never know, but I'm the very opposite. I mean, I'll be taking a shit and
you just announce it to the house.
I'll make
everybody
a big old nose, like a big, huge noise. And I'll go, did anyone hear that? You know? And it's just, it's fun. That's fun for me. But
stealthy.
And that stays even you with
sometimes
you and Todd.
I won't poop
it's the same
for days.
It's the same with you and Todd.
I don't like that.
So I'm in a like a budding new relationship and it's all like really cute and new and fun. And I've been realizing like every once in a while I'm like, man, I gotta fart. but I'm like
too
not
soon.
I'm not there. Well, I oh, fuck that. Too soon. It's never too soon. It's
don't
just,
break that barrier. That,
no. Well, yeah. You know, I'm talking to the person who literally goes out of their way to yeah to avoid it. So maybe yeah maybe not. But
as soon as soon. So I've always been like I've always had like belly troubles, and so I can be quite gassy. And that is even like now, like it happens in my sleep, and I, even that is just kind of, I just deny it.
I thought about this. I thought about this too. I thought about this like yesterday. Why am I thinking about you farting and pooping so much? I was thinking, I thought about you farting in your sleep, and I was like, it's really cute. It's really cute.
Shut up.
It's so cute though. You just lay there and you're like, it's so funny. And then I'm laying there and I'm like, just laughing.
I hate that people are watching this. So uncomfortable.
I'm so glad we have this podcast. What else do we got? This is a really fun episode. It's coming up to you soon, but we got some other stuff to get to before we do. But coming up, we spoke with Dr. Jessica Wood, and she knows her shit when it comes to sex and sex health and relationships. And we got together and we talked about a little study put together from our friends at CCAN. And Trojan, this is the second time we partnered up with them to bring you some stats from some studies that they've put out. Mm-hmm. And it's all about sex during the world, during the pandemic, sex during mm-hmm. COVID, and all these interesting things that we should really be keeping in mind. And especially for all of you out there who are listening to this podcast, who are going back to school, fuck like today, you know what I mean? Like you guys are all that you're there. I spoke to Laurier yesterday. I gave a keynote to all the cool. new students at Laurier yesterday. So you're all there. You're all in a really unique time in your life, and it's very exciting, and there's lots of sex to be had. There's lots of sex to be had on
lots
those
of
university,
sex to be had. And
on
why
those university
not have,
campuses, but you got to have it safely. You got to have
safely.
It safely. And,
yeah.
and there's goddamn fucking COVID's out there, so you got to, you know. So anyway.
It's out there.
We're going to get into that. But before we do, let's throw to a quick brain boner. Okay. Bride. A quick brain boner. This is a bit of a brain boner. Mm-hmm. Do you want to preface it real quick, Bride?
Yeah, totally. So back in March, I get an email from a listener, and it was a really interesting brain boner. But we didn't have time to tackle it at the moment. And I, about a month later, I wrote back to this person and I said, "Can I get an update? Because we'd love to tackle this." And then yet again, we, you know, life got distracting, and we never got to it. And then a couple of days ago, we got a third update. So this brain boner is a series of messages, three different messages from the same listener. And we hope that that this will be helpful finally for you to get some solutions to your problem. But we thought we would just mix it up a little, since it was so much, and add a different voice to the podcast episode today.
So excited.
For your listening pleasure.
So excited.
This message will be narrated by none other than the fantastic and beautifully talented actor Charlene McLean, who is my mother.
Amazing. All right, let's throw to that brain butter.
March 25th. Hey, Jeremy and Bridie. What I have isn't so much of a brain boner, but I have come upon a point in my life where I could use some poly advice. Let me start off with my primary partnership. N is my best friend, and we have known each other since high school. She was there for me when I needed to move across the country for work, and we hadn't seen each other in 4 years. I asked her if we could live together, and she was game. It's now almost 2 years in May since we've moved in together, and it turned out better than either of us could have hoped for. And we talk about this all the time. She is my best friend and the closest I've ever been to another human before. We've gone through romantic relationships, ups and downs together, family struggles, and the stresses of daily life. I should state here that our relationship has never been, and I don't think ever will be, sexual. We are friends who love and respect each other deeply as romantic partners, just no sex. Well, she has recently, in December, started seeing S. Now, her and S have known each other in another life and have come back together to form a bond that neither of them was expecting, and spent every weekend with him over the winter. And I was okay with that because we thought that S would be leaving at the end of his working season. But now with the COVID havoc, he isn't leaving the country. And I'm having a hard time sharing my time with N and with S. I don't feel like I was prioritized at all this winter. All three of us are quarantining together, and they come and go from his place to ours. I haven't had much time alone with N to talk all my feelings out and see where she is on this journey that we are on together. We got to talk a little bit the other day, and I did get to voice my deep feelings of jealousy over the unequal sharing of time, and she did hear me. I'm feeling better having written all this out. Would love to hear your thoughts on the matter. All my love to you and yours. April 23rd. Things have progressed. S is now homeless because he lost his job due to COVID and the accommodation that they were providing for him. Now, N and S had a big talk while I was away last weekend, and decided they want to live together. I was a bit thrown off because I had no idea that this was even a thought for either of them. And it wasn't until it was presented and desired by both. Mine and N's lease is up at the end of May, so it's ideal timing for us to look at a new place. I feel a bit of apprehension still about the whole situation. S and I haven't had much time to get to know one another, and now he's living in our tiny basement apartment. With the three of us, my hope is we will be able to find a place that is big enough for all of us, and hopefully above ground. Things are looking up and getting better each day. Time is what was needed, I think. Change can be scary and can be so overwhelming, but it's not always a bad thing. August 28th. I don't know if you're still interested in tackling this brain boner, but I thought an update might be good. The three of us have found a house together after N was stranded in an African country for 2 months with work and COVID. S and I had to move house together, and let's just say it wasn't ideal. When N came back late in June, she had to isolate for 2 weeks. Fast forward to late August, and things are still not exactly peachy. S and I had a rough 2 months living together without N, and we are still not speaking much. I've taken lots of space from them both and had time to process my feelings for N. To me, this feels like the end of a relationship. N isn't aware of the internal turmoil I'm going through. I've separated her from my personal life, despite still living together. And I'm unable to share my feelings with her because I felt emotionally manipulated by her in the past. Living with the two of them when they are so joyous in their new love is draining on me. Even with the new love in my life, it's hard to see her with him. Any advice on how to move on from a friend who you relied on as a partner, who didn't value you in the same way, would be amazing. I know this is coming on the weekend. You are saying goodbye to Bigby. My heart is with you both. Having put down a pet in January 1st, I can sympathize with what you are going through. As always, all my love to you and yours.
Okay.
Okay,
Well, that's a lot.
First of all,
that's a lot.
Thanks for your kind words about Bigby. We really appreciate it. It has been a bit of a sad week.
We won't get into that right now. No. We'll get into that maybe next week, just so we have some time to process how we want to talk about that. But yes, mm-hmm. Thank you for those kind words. Very sweet. What do you think, Brad? A lot. There's a lot going on there.
There is a lot going on there. And you know what was interesting? I should have kept recording on my mom when she had finished reading it. And she said she really was like, I've had friends like that. Where we're from, we call them bosom buddies. This comes from Anne of Green Gables. Anne and Diana are bosom buddies. But that kind of like
bosom
friendship
buddies?
That's deep and intimate and important and significant and non-sexual. And I think it's really special to acknowledge those kinds of relationships because there's more than just romantic relationships where you have sex with a partner and non-romantic relationships where all of that intimacy is, you know, held at arm's length. So what a wonderful friendship to have and a wonderful, significant relationship to have. It does sound to me like perhaps that this iteration of this relationship may have come to sort of a natural conclusion. And that doesn't mean to me that the friendship has to be over. But if when you really love someone and care about their happiness and see that they are shining their light at someone, I think it is a really sort of hard, difficult, but honorable thing to step back and say, you know, this has been significant and important to me, and you know, it's hard for me to necessarily be this close to you while you're exploring a loving relationship with someone else. And for my own peace of mind, I'm going to extract myself and maybe look to find and build other significant relationships in my life. Cause one person can't hold all that for you. And we don't want to ever inhibit someone's, you know, growth and, love. So to me, to be short and sweet with that, I think that, I think you're reading the situation correctly. It probably is the end of the relationship that you've held on to for a long time, but that doesn't mean there can't be something else that comes out of it. With regards to this other person, there just might be needed some space there to be able to grieve the loss and grow a little bit and get some perspective and then maybe reconnect. That's my feeling on it.
I you said it all. I have nothing to add. I think that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friendships evolve. Relationships evolve. And it's hard sometimes to realize what's best in the moment when you're really caught up in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just recently went through that with a breakup, and it was like, you know, it took the breakup and a little bit of space from that breakup for me to look back and go, oh wait, this is actually for the best. And so, you know, I think that, but I think I really like your point in that just because the relationship and the circumstances have evolved doesn't mean that the friendship needs to end, you know, like that's a really important thing. And so, I think like one thing definitely that would be great is like, maybe just keep a step back and try to try to check a bit of that jealousy because, although jealousy is a very natural emotion to go through, it's one of those emotions that can be really detrimental to the growth of you as a human or to the growth of your relationships with others. So, you know, yeah. So that plus everything you just said, I think is pretty solid.
Yeah. If you're open to it too, like you can basically like Google meditation for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it can, meditation for heartbreak or breakup or any of that kind of stuff. And I think with jealousy, sitting with jealousy and letting the feelings move through you so they don't start to own you is really important. So that would be a nice way of maybe soothing yourself through the difficult time.
Yeah. And to that point, the meditation thing, if you've never done it, if you've never meditated before, try it. Mm-hmm. Like it's people say it all the time, and it's so easy to go, yeah, I probably should, whatever, and then never do it. Fucking try it. If you can sit down and actually like try it and really commit to it, I guarantee you'll come out on the other side and go, whoa, that was
just 5 minutes. Yeah, just start super digestible 5 minutes.
But if you want to do it right, like 6 hours straight, and you got to be sitting, you got to be sitting really rigid, yeah. And hold your breath for about an hour of that. So, all right. This is, let's throw to this conversation. I fucking love this conversation. I really, really, it was a short one, but I really want to get Dr. Wood back on the podcast. I love that her name is Dr. Wood. Yeah. Dr. Wood.
It's like,
she lives on 69 Buttfucker Lane.
I'm Dr. Poop. Do you remember that from Saturday Night Live? Yeah. Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. Enjoy this conversation with Dr. Wood, and as we dive into some studies brought to you by CCAN and Trojan. All right, everyone, we're here hanging out with Dr. Jessica Wood, PhD, so you know it's a smart person doctor, and we're going to dive right into the whole world of relationships and sexuality and health and well-being, but before we do, Dr. Jessica Wood, why don't you give us a little lowdown as to who you are and what it is that we're actually going to be digging our teeth into today.
Awesome. Well, I am thrilled to be here and super excited for this show, or this podcast, rather. So I'm a research specialist with the Sex Information and Education Council of Canada, or CCAN for short.
CCAN, yeah.
CCAN, yeah. So, and like generally at this, we're in this role, I do research related to sexual health education and help to develop resources for, you know, educators, for the public, for policy developers. So we did the Canadian Guidelines for Sexual Health Education, and we also did the Trojan CCAN Sexual Health and COVID-19 Fact Sheet, which is what we'll be talking about today.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you know, COVID-19, if you've been living under a rock, is a global pandemic that has, to say the least, has shaken the fuck out of the entire world and in all aspects of our lives. You know, like it's really, we've talked about this at length on the podcast, but it's just wild to look back at the last, whatever, 6 months and to see how greatly our lives have been impacted and like all the different layers and ways that it's been impacted. But, from a sexual standpoint, this is something that I'm very fascinated in because, you know, it wasn't long ago. I remember seeing an article about it was like the New York Health Authority like put out a statement that was like, try using glory holes. And I was like, whoa, this is the world we live in now. Like, that's really neat. That's really interesting. So getting into the study of what you've been looking into, through CCAN and with Trojan, what are some things that, I don't know, that like a pleb like me might not be considering or even have like thought of?
Yeah. So, I mean, we wanted to do this originally because, you know, it speaks to your point just about sex being a really important thing for people, sex and relationships, and it wasn't getting as much attention at first. But, you know, COVID hit us all very hard, and that hits our relationships hard, and it hits aspects of our sexuality hard, and it's really, you know, changing our lives in all these different ways. And we wanted to put something out there that, you know, would help people kind of navigate their sexual health and relationships while being able to follow the public health guidelines that were in place and give them some information about, you know, what kind of things do they need to know? What kinds of things do they need to be following? And so some of the things that we've focused on are, you know, masturbation, which is, you know, one of the things that everybody can do while following some of the physical distancing guidelines.
What is masturbation? I'm joking.
It's a technical term.
Oh, I am very much joking. I know what masturbation is very well. Sorry, I cut you off there.
That's okay. So, you know, we created these when it was like everyone was in isolation and it was like hardcore. Don't go out unless you're like going to the grocery store, and you know, physical distancing in effect. And so we're like, okay, what are the things that people really need to know during this time? And yeah, so masturbation is like, you know, the first and foremost. We wanted to emphasize that because, you know, as you've probably heard that expression, you know, you are your safest sex partner when it comes to COVID-19. And, you know, wash your hands, wash your sex toys, and you're good to go. And it's something that everybody can hopefully easily access. I know there's definitely people who don't have the time and energy and space to be alone to do it. So that's another challenge as well. Yeah, so that's kind of the first component of it. And then we also want to focus on talking to people about what does sex look like when you are in a relationship with people in your household or people, you know, in your social bubble. And what does sex look like for non-household partners? And what are the how do we implement the guidelines in that sense?
Right.
And then also, you know, thinking about sexual health and reproductive health during this time. So the importance of, you know, contraceptives and condom use or dental dam use. So preventing, you know, getting and passing STIs. And if you don't want to be pregnant during this time, like trying to think about what are the things people need to do and know to, you know, make sure that they're able to manage and enhance their sexual and reproductive health.
Do we like, do we think there's going to be just a buttload of COVID babies popping up? I don't mean COVID infected babies, but I mean like babies that are just like, you know,
born
9 months from 9 months from April, just like a whole new boom of COVID made babies from lockdown times?
That's a good question. Some people have hypothesized that, we're going to see this, you know, big boom of babies because everybody's in lockdown and they're going to be having more sex. Some of the research so far that's coming out, I mean, we don't have like Canadian data yet, but some of the research so far is showing that people are having sex less frequently. And people who have been, there was one study that looked at like the length of time they were isolated. People who were isolated longer were more likely to have sex a little bit more frequently, but it wasn't like people were having a ton of sex. You know, people are stressed. People were dealing with a lot of other COVID related stressors like job loss and working while parenting and having kids at home or taking care of other family members, which can all really impact, you know, our desire and our sex lives and our ability to access, you know, those different parts of ourselves that are important for sex. So far, any research showing that we will see this big COVID baby boom.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because I was, you know, I've thought about this a number of times, but one of the things that came up in my mind was like, okay, COVID's happening. People are locked in their houses, but like, people aren't going to stop having, like, people are just, the longer they go without the sex, the more they're going to just need to get out there and get fucking. But I guess I didn't really think about it that way, about how, you know, when we add all these extra stressors to our life, our libido is oftentimes like one of the first things to take a hit.
Yeah. And I think it's different for different people for sure. Like, some people stress can, you know, they want to relieve stress through sex and connection, and other people it can be the opposite. It's, I'm so stressed that I can't actually be, you know, present in that moment or get in that headspace that I need to be in to have sex. So it can impact people in very different ways, and especially depending on the context and the different roles that you have and the responsibilities that you have and the different stressors you are experiencing as well.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it kind of reminds me of when I'm stressed. I just spend copious amounts of money on shit that I don't need.
It's a form of masturbation. Yeah.
That's a form of masturbation for sure. Yeah.
I love that.
But then, you know, it's also true that more than ever, people are not living with their romantic or sexual partners. So then there's this whole other, you know, essential travel component to getting from my house to my sexual partner's house, and then actually maybe not being as aware as I would be with my living partner of like what that person's bubble entails and what they feel is risky and what they feel is safe. You know, their own metrics for that are bound to be different than mine in some way. You know, if I forget my mask, I still will go to the grocery store without it, but I'll keep my distance. But a lot of people will be like, no, you just turn around and you go home. You go get your mask. There's no reason to go in there without it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I remember in the thick of it, like when we were deep in lockdown, I was like, you know, I was like, well, what am I? Who am I going to have sex with? Like, I'm immunocompromised. And then I was like, oh, I got it. I got to find another immunocompromised person, somebody who also just lives in a goddamn bubble, and then we can just have our own little bubble. But didn't work out that way.
Hard to partner up with that as your only like common.
I know. Are you? Yeah. Do you
have stuck alone by yourself?
Do you have an incurable chronic lung disease too? Cool. Let's hang out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bridie, I know that we kind of let our listeners and our patrons know that we were going to be sitting down with Dr. Wood today. Mm-hmm. And there was a list of questions that came in from some of our listeners. I feel like it would be a good opportunity to kind of fire off some of these questions to, again, a smart person doctor, because I don't know shit about shit. So this is a good opportunity to take advantage of someone who knows something about something.
Okay. So the first question that came in was, is it worth getting even the slightest hope up about group play while we're still living in this pre-vaccine era?
I feel like my answer might be a little bit of a bummer.
Bum away.
So right now, you know, the guidelines are to limit large gatherings of, you know, any type. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that said, if you live in an area where guidelines state it's okay to, you know, have a social bubble. So in a lot of places in Canada, the, you know, we talk about having these social bubbles of, you know, a certain amount of people or combining households or however you want to kind of word or phrase that same kind of concept. And if you have people in your bubble that want to engage in group play, and you've all agreed that you're, you know, you're in the same social bubble when you're not, you know, you're not engaging in close personal contact with anyone else, like, game on for group play. And if you're concerned about your risk in that situation for COVID-19, you can do things to mitigate that risk. You know, can bring hand sanitizer, you can incorporate masks into play, you know, maybe limit kissing, which I also kind of think is a bummer because kissing is one of my favorites.
Kissing is the funnest. Yeah.
Kissing is the best. Do it in a large area that's, you know, well ventilated. The New York NYC Public Health has suggestions for mitigating risk in these situations, but also suggests limiting larger sex play gatherings as well.
Right.
But so yes, you do increase your risk if you're having a larger get together with people outside of that social bubble idea. And the guidelines kind of across the board would suggest minimizing that at this time, which, you know, is a bit of a bummer.
It would be such a bummer though, to get COVID from an orgy, you know, like that would just be,
I mean, the contact worst. Tracing would be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Would it just be pretty goddamn easy? You know,
yeah,
everyone was on top of each other.
But
so.
There were 15 of them, and yeah, all right. of those yeah, 15 right. people.
Right.
I love that this listener also mentioned that that if the door, if their sex club ever reopens, if they're gonna kick the door down and stomp in there. And I have this like beautiful image of like an apocalyptic, you know, group of orgies. Fuckers like inhabiting the sex
Mad
club
Max.
And Mad Maxing it out at the sex club. So
that
could be
hot.
You.
I like that. I mean, that's cool.
You know
great.
What? You can do anything you want. You're an adult.
We got another question here. And this is actually one that I was curious about. Is it safe to have one night stands ever again? I'm nervous. I'm not nervous, but that's what they said. They said I'm nervous, but I'm nervous too. I'm nervous too. Help.
Yeah, I understand that feeling of being nervous. I think that's a totally understandable and normal feeling at this point in time. I mean, I wouldn't say never again, because I do hope we get an effective vaccine that will be, you know, taken up and distributed equitably.
Yeah.
But right now, like, knowing who your partner is in close personal contact with and them knowing about your contacts and limiting our close personal contacts with people is really key to preventing the spread of COVID-19. And so that, you know, does put some challenges on, you know, the one night stand concept of, you know, it depends on what your one night stand concept is. If your one night stand concept is, I know this person, we want to have sex one time, and we're going to, you know, maybe we're going to try to take some mitigating strategies into place, like maybe we're both going to isolate for a little while, and then we're going to meet and have sex once, and then we're going to isolate again and monitor our symptoms. That might be quite different than, you know, finding someone on Tinder and meeting up for a night when you don't know anything about them. You don't know who they've been in close personal contact with. You don't know their exposure. They don't know anything about you. That will definitely kind of put you at an increased risk for exposure to COVID-19. And I think one thing we've got to remember is that before the pandemic, one night stands was, you know, about you and that other person or people. So whether you knew a lot about each other or wanted to have, you know, an extended social relationship with them, there was no one else involved in that decision. However, now our decisions to engage with other people that are outside of our home or outside of our social bubbles can also directly impact other people in our lives and in our communities. So we need to consider that as well in our decision making. And I think that's why it's also important to think about and consider, like, whether you're making a decision about new partners or in general, thinking about, you know, where you live, what the case numbers are, your own personal context. So who do you live with? Do these people have a higher chance of getting really sick from COVID-19? So what are each person's own personal context, and what does that look like for your risk assessment?
God, it's such an equation, you know. There's so many layers to it. And again, it's like these things that we wouldn't typically. It's so, man. Oh, I can't. I beat this sentiment to death, but I can't get over how. Fucking 7 months ago, if you had said where we're going to be right now, I'd be like, what? Like, what dystopian weird world are you talking about? Like, it's so bizarre. Bride, before I go down that rabbit hole any further, please just hit us with another sample question.
Okay, so here's another question. And And because we did ask for people to submit confessions if they had anything they wanted to get off their chest. So this one came in anonymously. I'm in a polyamorous relationship with two partners, neither of whom live with me. I keep seeing both of them, feeling sick with guilt and worry that I'm putting myself and others at risk, but I need touch. My mental and emotional health is already frayed.
Yeah, I feel that. That's, you know, these isolation measures, the physical distancing guidelines, they've been tough on relationships across the board, including people in multi-partnered relationships. And, you know, I think there's definitely some, you know, huge pros to polyamorous relationships during this time, right? You've potentially got more social support to draw from, in different ways. But then if you're in different households, it can be really challenging, as you know, you may not be able to see these people with isolation and physical distancing guidelines, again, depending on where you live. So things might look a little bit different in places, parts of Canada than say parts of the US, where case numbers in the community are very, very high. So I'm not sure, like, if you have like a lot of listeners in Canada versus a lot of listeners in the US, but it would probably, you know, people's decision making would probably look quite different in those different geographical locations. And I think that things will probably also look different whether it's, you know, say like a closed versus an open relationship system. So if you've got like four people or three people who are in a, say, closed relationship system just with each other, and they live in different households, you know, and they've got low case communities or low case numbers in the community, like, and you're, you know, you've got like a social bubble, can you combine into each other's households and into that social bubble together? And, you know, the three of you work well together in that sense. More challenges arise, I think, too, with polyamorous relationships when, you know, you've got, you know, say a couple partners and they've got other partners and they've got different partners, and you have to make these really hard assessments and decisions on, you know, who is going to see who or whom. I'm not actually sure how you use who and whom.
Join the club.
Got to look that up. and be really challenging, and, you know, might in some cases come across as like a hierarchical approach, because it's like, well, I'm living with these people, but I don't adhere to a hierarchical approach to polyamory. But then the implementation of that feels, you know, not good, because maybe you don't want that hierarchical approach, but it feels like it is. So there's so many different factors that come into play, I think, with the multi-partnered relationships. One thing I think that I was kind of thinking about is that conversations about this may look different than some polyamorous people may have had in the past. So perhaps before, in some relationships, you know, maybe people didn't need to know a lot about the details of their metamors, or like how their metamors are interacting with other people. But now, if you're seeing a partner, you're going to want to know more about their partners and what their partners are doing, what their exposure is to other people, in order to make an informed decision, as informed decision as possible.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as like in the sense that, like, you know, although this is all really challenging and hard, like, through that adversity, there is a really wonderful opportunity to work on our communication skills. You know, we're being forced to, if we want to be safe, and if we want to be, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Consensual?
Responsible. Then we're kind of required to up our communication skills with our partners in this time, because, again, it's like, you know, it's a very bizarre and potentially dangerous time to be in that kind of scenario. So I kind of like the thought that it's like, oh, great, here's an opportunity for us to be a bit better at the way we communicate.
It might even be an in, you know, to having those sort of those conversations about consent can already be sort of uncomfortable, but like, if you just have to, if you absolutely have to, because, you know, we're all experiencing COVID. It's not just, you know, me experiencing my own, you know, STI that I could potentially, you know, spread. It's like, hey, bottom line is we got to talk about this thing. And then the other thing I love about it too is it's brought that to the surface, but it's also brought to the surface that COVID has like of mental health as a big, like a lot of people are talking about it where I never saw it before. And then these conversations about sexuality and relationships and they're important to our overall mental health is another huge positive in all of this coming to light.
I know we're coming to time here, but before we wrap, I think this would be really fun. So again, just a reminder, the guidelines that we were talking about have been brought to us by Trojan and through CCAN. And so Bridie and I put together a little like sort of true or false questions section that we're just going to like kind of rapid fire, I mean, to take as much time as you want to answer these.
If it's not true or false, if it's not black and white, feel free to say it's a little more complicated than that.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say, like, I'm not very good at true or false. Like, contextualizing is my jam. So.
Yeah, right. Okay, great.
I may not be very good at this game.
All right, let's start the first one. One of the best strategies for preventing the spread of COVID-19 through sex is masturbation. True or false?
I'm going to say true because, I'm going to contextualize it.
Yeah, please do.
If we're thinking of masturbation as just you by yourself, I'm going to say true. If we're talking about masturbation with a partner, like mutual masturbation, then I'm going to say it's a little more gray. If it's a partner you live with, you know, treat it like, are you experiencing symptoms? And, you know, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. If it's a partner you don't live with, you know, maybe you want to do mutual masturbation in a large space with masks on and you're at like other ends of the room or something.
Warehouse.
Warehouse.
Oh, it's well ventilated. You
know, play a game of four corners. Everyone just takes their own corner and
group sex.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Okay, second question. It's safe to use hand sanitizer as a lubricant.
Oh no, not at all. Don't do that. Please don't do that.
No gray area.
Do you need to contextualize that?
No, I don't.
Okay, how about this one? Doggy style is a safer position than missionary to help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Possibly. I mean, you are not facing each other. Mm-hmm. If you've got masks on, there's probably a lower chance of having respiratory droplets, you know, in your face. So, okay.
All right. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Wearing a mask and gloves help reduce my chances of getting COVID during sex.
I'm going to say masks. It provides a barrier for respiratory droplets. Gloves can help prevent chances of getting or passing STIs. But with COVID, you know, there is some concern sometimes that gloves can give us a false sense of protection. And so we may end up kind of not realizing that, you know, we put gloves on and we think we're totally fine. We can do whatever we want with our hands. But, you know, as soon as we touch a surface or touch another person, those gloves are, you know, contaminated in air quotes, or possibly contaminated. So if we still have gloves on and we touch our face and touch our eyes, that still, you know, puts us at risk. So we need to be aware of our hands, I think. And, you know, so if we do put gloves on, just don't touch your face.
This might be a tough one. Is it safe to masturbate to coronavirus themed pornography?
That's not a true or false question.
I think that is a personal preference.
Duly noted.
Condoms.
Personal preference.
Condoms do not prevent COVID-19. Therefore, you no longer need to use this form of contraception.
Okay, that is a, I'm going to say false.
Big time.
Big false. Yes.
Really?
If you use condoms for contraception, continue to use condoms for contraception.
Just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't need those condoms anymore. They're not effective.
Yes.
All right, let's do one more, Bride.
All right.
Masturbating is a pleasurable way to reduce stress. True or false?
It can absolutely be a pleasurable way to reduce stress. True.
Well, Dr. Jessica Wood, this has been an absolute pleasure. And, you know, probably should say this off the record, but I would love to have you back on the show sometime to talk about some of the other studies that you've done. But this is really wonderful. And I want to say thanks again to CCAN and to Trojan for helping put this together, because like we said earlier, we are living in very bizarre times, everything in our lives has changed, and you know, we're all doing our best to try to navigate this new world. And sex is a big part of a lot of our lives, and we also have to learn how to navigate our way through that. So thank you for the work that you do mm-hmm. in terms of helping us navigate our way through the weird and wacky world of sex in COVID mm-hmm. times.
Awesome. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to come back anytime. And if I can just have like one final closing statement. It's
yes, please.
That really focus, just to kind of go off of what you said about communication, I think that is like the most important kind of take-home message is accessing information and communicating with partners. So whether that's, you know, communicating about your, you know, risk of getting or passing COVID-19, whether you're not feeling well, whether you've gone outside the boundaries of that you've agreed upon, what are the boundaries that you're agreeing upon? What is your social bubble? Talking to your partners, upping your game with your communication. What are your sexual likes and dislikes? Do we want to do this, you know, online versus in person? Communication is so incredibly important right now, and it will help you to, you know, be better, have a better relationship, and also to, you know, better assess your risk.
Cool. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time today. It was really fun.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Jessica Wood. And again, we're going to get her back on the show, I think, in the future. I really look forward to it. Bridie had to go. She had an appointment. And so she had to bounce out of here. So I'm just going to wrap this up myself. We love all of you. We think the world of you. If you've been listening to this podcast and you've been supporting this podcast over the years, truly, truly, we cannot thank you enough. To all of our lovely patrons, we really love you. And again, if you want to watch the intro, the foreplay segment of our podcasts, we are now recording those through video and we are posting them on our Patreon. So go on over to patreon.com/turnmeon and check that out. Again, thank you all so much. Fucking love you. And you know what? We'll talk about this next week. It's all good. All right. Without further ado, that is it for this week. Until next week, go fuck yourself.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.